The following was recorded in front of a live studio audience at the Studio 21 Podcast Cafe. This is the United Podcast Network.
If you're building, or buying, or selling a home, the Real Estate Crew's got news for you at the Real Estate House Party.
With attorney Rick Carter.
The Real Estate House Party.
Paralegal Kathy Holsthausen.
The Real Estate House Party. Come in, have fun.
And comedian Tony V. Now, here's real estate attorney Rick Carter.
Welcome and thanks for joining us back here on the Real Estate House Party, Part 2. John, thank you so much for coming back.
Thanks for having me back. I have like a million questions.
We got a million questions. I know you were a little nervous on the last show when we started talking about roofs. So John's thinking, I took my whole day off to hear you guys ramble.
No, I'm sure this is a burning question in our real estate world.
Well, it's headlines.
I know, it is headlines.
Listen, if I know about it.
You know about
then
it.
Then everyone knows about it because I don't know anything.
So we should tell people what we were talking about last week. In case someone, you think anyone would have missed last week's show on us?
No.
No, but.
No.
No.
And if they did, they
could. Tony coming back. Everyone says that. Is Tony coming back?
Yes, Tony's back. Thank God.
You know,
yes.
It's either he visits us in Reading, Mass, or he's in Aruba. You make the decision why. So, what were we talking, Kathy? What were we talking about last week?
We were talking about the NARS settlement, which is
the National Association of Realtors just gave a settlement of $418 million to make a lawsuit go away, pretty much.
Yeah, and they're basically talking about the real estate
commissions and decoupling.
Yes.
Here's a question. Who got the $418 million?
That's a great question. So what happens is, don't even get me started.
The lawyers take that chunk.
So what happens is, John,
casting no aspersions on lawyers.
Yeah.
So I didn't get any
President of company excluded.
So there was another lawsuit before this. So they've literally – so what it does is goes in a pool, I imagine, right? And what they're doing is paying off all the costs first to get that settlement. And you know where all the costs went to?
The attorneys fighting.
So they must have made about a few hundred – couple hundred million dollars.
Now, can I ask you a question, John? Did you think the system that we're working with today – had any big flaws?
Well, it wasn't perfect.
It wasn't perfect. I mean, would I say big flaws? No. Was it perfect? No. Was it, you know?
Did it work?
Oh, it certainly worked. You know, it certainly.
You got your cut, the buyer's agent.
And I mean, not like we shouldn't put ourselves first. I mean, it's, you know.
You're doing your job. 100%.
No, I know. But at the end of the day, like, people have options. They, you know, like. A seller has always been able to sell their home on their own if they wanted to.
Well, right, and they decided to pay you.
And if they decided to hire,
yeah,
right.
You know, if they decided to hire,
it's a negotiated fee that you asked for, and they made a decision financially that you were going to help them sell the house.
So there wasn't a law that it had to be a commission per seller.
And same thing with a buyer. Buyers never had to use an agent; they could represent themselves if they wanted to.
Right,
but
right.
I think
and we've had that. You know, for a long time.
But yeah. I think there's so much going on in the real estate world these days with like social media and all the everything that's gone on.
Yeah.
And like now they're like, you know, oh, there's knob and tubing wiring and there's, you know.
All right. That's all great. That's a good point because that's why I think we would eventually get to this.
You would need a buyer's agent to help negotiate.
Well, it's a bunch of things. I mean, as buyer's agents, we certainly help them negotiate. We help them. Land the house that they want, and we help them guide them. I mean, we've been doing this, you know, for a while. So buying a house is an emotional decision, and sometimes people need guidance in terms of what is important to them. So, like, our job isn't necessarily to find the house, although sometimes we do. Sometimes we take our feedback, we take our clients' feedback, listen to what they have to say, and then say, hey, based on what you told me, have you ever thought about X, Y, and Z?
Right.
And many times they'll say no, but that's a very good point. Maybe I should start looking in. That community, or maybe I should consider
because I think that's why our buyer's agent comes in.
Well, a condo instead of
a
single family.
Buyer can find a house out there for sale.
They can figure it out themselves. But in the pool of all the buyers that are looking at this one house, you might give them the edge or the information or.
Yeah, like we talked about last week, you might say, well, this is probably worth $80,000 more. This isn't worth $80,000.
You're basically a mentor to them.
That's correct. Yeah, our job is to look out for their best interests. I mean, ultimately, that's what our job is.
We had a closing where the buyer's agent, it was marketed this condo was marketed for X amount of square feet. We find out it wasn't X amount of square feet.
The buyer's agent figured that out, right?
Well, we found out from our titles, Renee Carter.
Hi,
she's
Renee.
She's great.
She's awesome. Yeah. So she figured it out.
Eagle eye,
the secret weapon. So, and she conveyed that message to the buyer's,
agent. Right. Yeah.
And the buyer's agent said, ooh, we were expecting, you know, X amount of square feet. And ultimately, it was $60,000 swing. The buyer ended up having to pay $60,000 less. That wouldn't have happened if
you didn't have an agent.
Right,
or
right,
sometimes,
right.
You know, like many times there's certain things that buyers, like there's risk that a buyer may take. And so sometimes there's plenty of times at the offer stage where we'll have a conversation with our buyer and we'll say, hey, this is something that we should watch out for, you know, just in case. And we may bring you in, but then we may decide to add in a contingency, because if that contingency isn't there and something happens,
you're protected.
They're protected, right. And they can get their money back. If
and then
not,
the buyer,
they lose their deposit.
Without an agent, is doing all this expert work, right, that you're very good at and you're very good at by themselves.
Well, the thing is, you know, you don't know what you don't know.
And,
well,
so,
right.
and at the end of the day, it's there are plenty of people who've had successful transactions and got
and
lucky.
And they didn't know anything.
Yeah, but at the same time, there are plenty of times where there's issues
this
that
is
we
gonna,
need to.
You know, it's like a lot of things, and especially when government gets involved, I hate to harp on that, but this is going to favor rich people, correct?
Yes, correct.
I mean,
it's not
going to
favor the first-time home buyer.
Yeah,
or
without
as
a doubt.
Kathy mentioned
Fannie
last
Mae
week,
and
VA
and veterans.
Right, they're the ones, it's the lower end.
FHA, right.
And stuff like that.
It's certainly not helping out a first-time home buyer.
No, and at the end of the day, like,
it's
most...
They're probably the ones who need the buyer agent is the most.
But most sellers then turn into buyers anyway.
Right. And then,
so it's
most,
so
most
right.
sellers what?
Most sellers turn into buyers.
Right, right.
So there's
right.
it's there's kind of two right. sides of that coin too.
And then,
right.
what
oh, there's
stop?
So much going on right. with this settlement, right? There's so many different things
yeah.
like
well,
layers.
Oh, there's
stop.
A lot of layers. Layers.
Oh, there's a yes.
like for instance, what would stop a corporation from like buying up a whole neighborhood? And going like, nah, you got to deal with me.
Yep. Yeah, yeah.
You know
yeah.
what I mean? And I'm taking all of this, and you're getting none of it.
Well, what if another reason to have a buyer's agent was what if someone knows, some buyer's agent knows that's going to happen, say, well, they're going to put in some waste dump
sure.
behind us.
Yeah, yeah.
And
right.
the buyer agent knows that, say, nah, I'd stay away from this neighborhood.
Right,
you know,
right.
I mean, if you just go directly to the seller's, what are the seller's broker's obligations?
So as a seller's agent, our job is to advocate and work in the best interest of the seller.
Right.
So
right.
we have to disclose things that we know that, you know, that are issues with the property, to put it like in plain English, like that we need to do. But there's a lot of gray area.
Right.
You know, there's a lot of things that, like, you know, at the end of the day,
you have to represent the seller's best.
Watch out
the
for
best
sellers.
Of your ability.
Kathy,
yes.
You had a follow-up question we were talking about beforehand. What if the buyer...
What if the buyer comes to you as a selling... agent, I think it's going to make your job that much harder.
What's a dual agent?
So a dual agent.
So will that make it a dual agency?
So this is where it gets complicated, where it's like, quite frankly, there's a lot of people in the industry that just don't know what they're doing. So like that's
really
that's the other problem. So
wow, that seems like a news flash.
Dual agency is when the
no one we know.
No, of course. Everyone we know does exactly what this means.
Yeah. Dual agency is when an agent represents both a buyer and a seller.
Right.
So, which I've always find I don't know how you
it's hard to
in certain states it's not legal.
Hey, don't tell them.
So we can't.
No, they have fiduciary. They have all kinds of different.
As a dual agent, you know, anything that's confidential has to remain that way to whoever we're representing.
So you can't
but
tell
in other
yourself.
Words, we need to be fair. We need to be fair to both parties, and essentially, we can't coach them to.
Either
we can't
way.
Coach one party to. Bring the price up and coach the other party to bring it down.
That seems a little.
But in the dual
that
agency,
seems a
like,
little hanky.
Seems like this is ripe for some problems.
But in the dual agency, the buyers and the sellers sign dual agency forms, so they know that you're representing
both.
The seller and
now,
the buyer.
Quite frankly, we ask permission for dual agency.
Yep.
However, it's been very rare that we're actually in dual agency. So
right.
the whole thing about dual agency, most agents go wrong, I believe, because They'll represent a seller. They'll hold an open house, and then someone will walk in off the street
right.
without an agent, thinking they'll get a better deal. And they walk up to the agent and say, "Hey, you could be my agent." And then that agent now turns their back on their seller and becomes a dual agent. And that happens like
a lot, right?
That has happened a lot. Like for us, we would never do that. For us, if we're representing the seller, we're representing the seller.
Right.
The only time that we're in dual agency is if we are actively working with a buyer. And we actively have a listing. And then by some slim chance, our active buyer is the one who decides to put in the highest, best offer of that property.
Right.
Now you can do that.
And that has happened. I can count on one hand how many times that has happened.
Right.
Like for some other agents, it's happened a lot. I mean,
right.
In the Boston area, there are so many transactions and way more agents. The chances of a listing agent having the buyer that's willing to pay the highest price is like slim to none.
Right. Right. So you don't see this happening that much where...
For us, it doesn't happen that much. For other agents, not all agents, but everyone knows who, like, you know, there are a few agents out there that are trying to practice.
I see it as a problem. Some buyer pulling in. I think we're back to... Then they're not going to get adequately represented.
That's correct.
Right. So we've established what dual agency is. But if John's has a house, or you're
listing
representing
a house.
This seller, and the buyer comes in off the street,
we like for how we practice, like how we conduct business is we're still a seller's agent.
However, after July,
now after July, we may get a lot more of that. And what sellers need to understand is that many times. If I put my buyer's agent hat on, I'm protecting the buyer. I'm going to advise them. But I'm also going to educate them on what's commonplace in the market, what's happening in the market.
But if they're not hiring you...
So if a buyer is unrepresented, the challenge for the seller is
and
that...
And or you.
More so for the seller.
Okay.
You know, that seller needs to understand that if that buyer has no agent, they don't have anyone telling them what's typical, what's not typical, what shouldn't be a red flag, what should be a red flag. So take, for example, like if there's a home inspection, you know, in New England, you know, no house is perfect. There's always things that come up, you know. But if a buyer doesn't have representation, you know, they may not have someone to be the sounding board to say, hey, is this normal? And then next thing you know, they're asking the seller to fix everything that's on that 20 to 100 page, you know, report of home inspection.
Right, we get that a lot when we're representing a client and the other side doesn't have an attorney. Everyone says, "Oh, that's great. There's no attorney going against you." I go, "No, I
think that's
it's worse because that other client, that other attorney is going to say, no, what Rick threw in here is normal. But when the buyer's just reading it on his own, saying, oh, my God, I can't believe Rick's putting all this stuff in here.
And that's the thing that no one really is talking about. But, you know, as agents, not only do we, you know, look out for our clients, but we educate them on what's happening.
Right.
And an uneducated buyer, frankly, many times may not be the best buyer for the seller because that seller could then incur – so much more stress.
Sure.
Right. A lower sales price.
Right. If they don't have anyone looking out for them. Right.
Yeah. So, for example, you know, and I'm saying
like a buyer agent will vet that person. I'm sorry.
Yeah,
no,
but that's exactly it. A buyer's agent will vet that person. And you know, a seller could accept an offer from a buyer unrepresented. And if they don't know what they don't know.
Right.
And they.
Right.
And they make a big deal of something that's completely typical.
Right.
For the area or whatever. It may be typical in any house that they run into.
Right, right.
What the seller may not realize is if that buyer now walks and that seller now comes back on the market,
right.
The whole market's going to perceive that house as to be
something's wrong with that house.
As opposed to the buyer that attempted
the buyer.
Something
is wrong with the buyer.
Exactly. So essentially there's...
A lot of it's with financing too. I mean, if you're a buyer's agent, you want to coach that buyer and say, listen, did you get pre-approved? I mean, and a lot of these bankers are very good these days. When you get pre-approved, they're checking your credit. You know, if there's dings on it, and I think they have software now that actually, you know, can suggest you, this is what you got to be doing, boom, 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 boom. You know, if you get some buyer just off the street without an agent.
And a pre-approval letter.
Right,
sometimes
which we could write that out. You look good.
Today's market is certainly, it's complicated. It's, you know, it's
like
what's going on with the appraisal? What happens if it doesn't appraise?
Right.
Like, you know, there's so many different, you know, detours.
And the problem is buyers have so much information these days. They think they can, I shouldn't say all, but some think they can do it all because they see it all on these. But that's just getting the information. It doesn't mean what to do with that
information. Well, and how to use it to your advantage.
It's the same thing. Like, right. I could look up the laws online,
exactly.
But that doesn't mean I can. I'm an attorney.
Right.
You know
right.
what I'm thinking? Here's what we need.
Not a mud.
I've been waiting for some.
No. Yeah, no.
I've been waiting. Go ahead.
We need.
I'm going to write this down.
A Sherlock Holmes hat, you know, with the two bills?
Yeah.
And one side is BA, buyer's agent, and the other side is SA.
So you just flip it around.
Seller's agent, yeah. Right. So you just, someone has a question for you.
Sherlock
you go,
Holmes
wait
hat.
A second, I'll take that under advisement, and then you flip the hat. And
which,
now you which, are all things sales.
Which hat
agent.
Am I wearing?
Right,
exactly.
Right. But then you go, don't ask me that question.
Hold
you
on.
See my hat.
Right.
Hold on. Boom. And it's now you can
and
ask.
And the best beauty of this is it's full disclosure.
Yeah. You that know it, exactly who
they
you're
know
dealing
what
with.
You're, right,
yes.
right. It says it right there.
Yeah.
It's almost like these are the rules. You gotta represent boom 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 in a certain fashion. It's almost like the when the defense attorney blurts out something at court and the judge says, oh, disregard that. Disregard
yeah, I know.
That.
Like, how do you?
I'm not disregarding.
No, I heard it. So it's almost the same thing. You know,
right.
you can have your rules on how to be a dual agent. Yeah. I don't think they
like
always.
Or like the piece of evidence, right, that they're like,
right. Oh,
not
oh
gonna,
no, yeah, yeah.
Wait, that's not admissible.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
I
no.
saw
pretend
it.
Pretend you didn't see that gun that he killed on some house with before.
A bat, not blind. No, but like what you brought up a good point about.
Sorry, we were doing so well.
About how complicated these transactions are these days,
sure.
right?
Without
There's
a doubt.
So much. And so typically, the buyer has an agent, the seller has an agent, the buyer has an attorney, the sellers have an attorney.
Typically.
And that's in a good day. But sometimes the agents get into a situation, right, where their clients are arguing about different things and it's – you got to bring the attorneys in to to get through it. So there were like two other layers of, and then if you're dealing with a buyer from where we sit, if you're dealing with a buyer and they don't have a buyer's agent, now we're dealing directly with the buyer who might be hysterical or might not be guided correctly by the agent. So it's almost like the whole thing can go haywire on emotion.
And the thing is, it's that. That agent that's unrepresented.
Or the client, the buyer.
Let's just say if it's a buyer or a seller.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, if there's a buyer's agent that doesn't have representation, and as a listing agent, if we try and coach them and say, hey, no, this is typical, this is normal, they're not going to believe anything that we say because they know that we represent the other side.
The other side.
So I'm going to give an example that you were involved in. It's probably a month or two ago. I don't know. Time is... I know, lapsing.
Since
COVID. Oh, yeah, I saw it the other day.
In 2019, you were involved in this closing.
8 years ago.
Yeah. So you were involved in, on the seller's description of property, it said a little bit of an encroachment on the driveway.
Oh.
Remember this one?
Yeah. Sure.
So if they didn't have the buyer's agent, and then you calling us in, saying, hey, should we look into this a little bit more? We got the title, well, actually, before the title back, so you actually had figured this lot of this out. Oh, I know. Between us, we asked the seller's attorney, said, what's this little bit of encroachment? He says, oh, by the way, we actually had a full instrument survey. Remember?
Sure, I do remember.
And all of a sudden, they
what
had
we
the,
thought was a sliver was like half of the driveway.
The whole driveway.
Was not theirs?
Yeah, right, exactly. It was on the neighbor's property that they knew about all the time. They just said, it's a little bit of encroachment. Maybe I'm putting a little in, but they said, this is an encroachment. We were thinking it's a little bump.
A little bump.
Yeah, exactly.
We literally thought it was a sliver of like 6 feet by 3 feet.
Half of the driveway was in the neighborhood.
If you took the driveway and split it down the middle.
Yeah.
So like the way the driveway is, you could literally have like two lanes of traffic.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden.
Think of it this way. The other lane was on the neighbor's property.
I see. There's an easy fix there. Motorcycle.
But the fact that the seller knew that all along should have said, there's a sliver for more information, we've actually done a full instrument survey because they knew it was a problem.
Well, they should have disclosed that.
They technically disclosed it but didn't give us the extent of it.
Right,
sure.
Right.
So my point is, if they didn't have you involved as a buyer's agent, they might not have looked – if they just went directly to the seller, That thing would have closed.
Well, then, well, or the deposit could have been at risk.
Right. Yeah. 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 Yeah.
So what happens in a case like that?
They decided not to
buy.
The big thing is I don't think a lot of attorneys will do this. We put right in our purchase and sale that there's no encroachments on the neighbor's property.
Right.
So they technically really have to disclose to us what's going on. And I think that's where the attorney said, well, I guess we do have a little bit more of an encroachment. I just wanted to, and I go, all right, well, what do you mean? It sounded like he knew all about it. I said, he goes, oh, yeah, I have a survey on it. I'll send it to you. I go, okay.
That's a perfect example of you don't know what you don't
know.
So there's so many different,
right.
You know, and there's things that you do that we don't even, you know.
Flood zones.
Yeah, I mean, there's things that you don't think about. And how could you know if you didn't close thousands of transactions beforehand?
Right. Flood zone. So they're not going to, Sol's not going to say, oh, they should. I know they should.
So does that encroachment, is that just for the driveway?
Yeah,
or does it go the whole length of the property?
Pretty much went the whole length of the property.
Yeah, yeah.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah, it was all messed up. I think the developer owned the other lot at one point, so he didn't care.
So buyers had, and they were envisioning of planting, like, trees, arborvitaes, and the next thing you know, they're like,
did the people who they encroached on know this was an encroachment?
Yes.
Yes.
And they didn't say anything?
I think
they didn't care.
Well, I think they did say something.
But they weren't the ones who were selling the property.
Right, right.
The buyers were roaming around. I think the neighbor said, hey, by the way.
Half of that is mine.
Yeah, they said, you might want to look into this. So I've had.
So those are the kind of things like, you know.
We could go on and on about those. Flood insurance. All of a sudden, it's a flood zone. You see it. All of a sudden, some property that you wouldn't think.
And it's not. It doesn't seem like a big deal. But it doesn't. But
the one we had was $3,000 a year.
That's what I mean. Divided by 12, that changes your monthly mortgage payment.
It might mean you're not no longer approved for the loan.
Yeah, I was just going to say, then you don't qualify for the loan anymore.
I mean, we could go on and on.
Or it could be as simple as like, hey, a buyer is buying what they think is a 3-bedroom house.
Oh, yeah.
Although it's on a 2-bedroom septic.
Right.
And, you know, the third bedroom is in the basement or whatever. You know, that and to that buyer, that may be great. But it's their buyer's agent that says, hey, just so you know, for resale purposes, if you're thinking about selling in 5 years, you should know that if it's not a seller's market, that this is
what
you
question.
You know, and that's those are the things you don't know what you don't know.
Right. So what about we have to bring up this one.
Oh, my God. We got so much.
We have to bring up this one.
I hope.
Okay.
You can you come back next week,
too? This is very important.
We got a lot of questions.
When it comes to septic, I wouldn't worry about the number of bedrooms. I'd worry about the number of bathrooms. If it's a 2-bedroom and 4 baths,
more concerned.
Wait a second.
You're not even concerned about the bathrooms.
No.
It's the flushes.
The flushes, yeah. There's going
to
be a
lot. Let's really get to the nitty gritty on the issue here.
How much is going
all right,
into that?
But I have one more.
And then I'll have one. We'll just swap. We'll just throw them all out to John. John's going to have to come back.
No, so we had a closing and. For some reason, the listing agent couldn't get the we represent the buyer. Listing agent couldn't get the fire department out to get the smoke certificate, right?
Yep.
So they said, can you guys just close it on Friday and we'll have it on Monday? And for some reason, we go, no, because you need to have the smoke certificate.
You got to have everything in order.
Right.
So we canceled the closing. Big pain in the neck, right? But we did. That Monday came along and there's no smoke certificate. We start asking and as it turns out, the fire department went in there and decided they were selling it as like a 4-bedroom.
Actually, even more, 5-bedroom.
5 bedrooms.
And the fire department said, two of these are illegal. There's no exits. There's, you know, this is a 3-bedroom house.
And there's no way they were giving the smoke and cert.
Yeah. Did the people know this?
So that was the thing,
pull a fast one?
Yeah, I don't know.
It doesn't really matter why it happened. But without a buyer's.
It matters to me, Kat. It matters to me.
But we have
evidently, you're the ethical one.
Yeah. No, but if the buyer didn't have an agent, you got a problem, right? What do you do?
Oh, we see smoke detector issues all the time.
What do you do, right?
Now, what would have happened if you closed and then the fire department went
big
in?
Big problems.
Yeah, that would...
Our only employment would have been this podcast.
Right. Yeah, so
and
we...
If there was ever a fire in there, then...
Yeah.
Even bigger problems.
Yeah.
So you did your due diligence.
Yeah.
And well, we did the right thing. It's a state law.
Yeah.
But the point is, like, without representation on either end...
You wouldn't know that.
That would have been a huge... Because then they had to renegotiate... selling a three-bedroom house.
That's almost like, which happens every once in a while, but people don't realize, is that they think they're buying a multifamily home because it's taxed as a multifamily home.
Right. I'm going to write a book on this.
But the building inspector has it as a single-family home.
Oh, yeah.
You're going to write a book?
Yeah. If I could find an editor.
Can I? I'm your editor.
I know. Get working.
And I'm not that grumpy.
All right. I'll give you another one. We could do this for another.
Yeah, we have. This is our favorite.
I love this stuff. So here's another one that people would never know. A guy buys a house and asks the seller, any problems with me parking my landscaping truck in the driveway?
And
they said, No, that should be fine. And the guy actually calls the town, and the town says, yeah, there's no ordinances against that. And they end up closing. There was no ordinance against it.
But there were restrictive covenants.
Scheme restrictions, which says very much that. It almost said no commercial trucks out front.
And that's actually very common.
It's very common.
And developments or whatever.
Right.
And
any newer developments are going to have common
scheme
restrictions.
The common scheme restrictions.
That's an easy fix. You paint it pink and put bubbles on it.
Do you have any common scheme restrictions in Charlestown?
That's a new development
where you're living, right?
New as of 1843. Yeah.
We had a friend that was buying a second home up in somewhere in New Hampshire, and I read through the old, it wasn't common, but it was restrictions on like no motorcycles in the front yard and da 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 da, like just weird things.
Yep.
And I read it to him. He goes, "You better call him." He's a good friend of ours. I'm like, "You got to pack your motorcycles in the back." And he's like, "No, I can handle that. No campers on the premises."
Did you hear about it? I think a while back there was one in Florida with at the association they couldn't allow trucks. And someone bought a Rivian.
The electric truck.
Which, you know, and
so
then
100,000.
And the association, I guess there was lawsuits because the association told him to get rid of it.
And
he didn't want to. He's like, this is a, you know,
it's my vehicle.
It's a $100,000 truck.
Right.
And you're telling me it's devaluing the properties around here.
Yeah. So we could, this is probably a million examples.
There's one more that tell about the business, the B class.
That's a good
zone.
One. And this is where everyone dropped the ball. So the buyer you're going to have to help me write my book. And
I will.
All right. So anyway, long story short, buyer goes in and says, and again, everyone dropped the ball, and this buyer's agent did as well. So buyer goes in and says, listen.
This is an example of a buyer's agent that you shouldn't get.
Right, exactly. So says, I want to put my hair salon in there. And the agent says, that's fine. This is Zone Business B District. Make a long story short, there was no such thing in town as a Business B District.
He just made it up?
Just somehow. And I think the seller told the agent, and the agent said, oh, that's good enough for me. Didn't look into it.
Right. So that's right. You gotta do your due diligence.
Right. So the seller tells the agent. So the seller and the agent drop the ball, and then the buyer drops the ball. I mean, they go into a neighborhood like your neighborhood, and they think they can throw in a hair salon, and it's commercially zoned. They might
have
wanted to look into that a little bit.
Somebody should have looked into it.
Yeah, five people could have figured that clue out there, but I guess this is why you have to have a...
Did she ever buy the house?
She bought it. That's why the lawsuit happened, and the agent lost. And sometimes agents, well, we won't get into disclosures and misrepresentation. That's a whole nother show.
No, so this... I'm going to be anxious to see how this rolls out in the next couple months, right? July.
How do you think it's going to affect your world?
So the complicated thing will be from now until July, when things actually happen, it's going to be a little bit of a
change
wild,
of disclosures,
wild west,
right?
Right.
But once the change happens and then we kind of settle into normal business, it might become the norm. Some good news is hopefully buyers will pay a lot more attention to who they hire as agents if there's a chance that they may actually be paying for their agent. Yeah. So that's something that some good may come out of this, because I think, many people just kind of all clumped buyer's agents together, and didn't really differentiate.
Some have more value than others, I would imagine.
Yeah, just like anything else.
Now, are there any appeals, or is it a done
deal?
Or it's
Massachusetts has their own case. that
But this is federal, right?
Yes. So, I mean, there's a bunch of cases.
You know, a lot going on.
Which and the then NAR one was to handle a bunch of the cases that happened throughout the country. But there's Massachusetts has their own separate case that's supposed to be decided on in April. So
and the DOJ is involved in the
So if God. They if they no. The case like they don't win in Massachusetts, then what? I mean, then now you've got a federal,
I think, yeah. Ultimately, I think this
state.
Is. I think
this is the, way
the
it's
NAR.
Going.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's going that way. That come okay. July, yeah. This changes.
All right.
Wow.
Well, you're gonna have wow. to come back.
My head
come
hurts.
Come back. Are you coming back, John? We got a lot more to still talk about.
I know. This is a great subject, and I really hope
subject.
That it works out. It smooths over, like come July, August, and
yeah. I think
it'll be fine.
Is the market is the market gonna fun. Pick up?
Hopefully.
Yeah.
It's all gonna be fine.
All right. Well, thanks for joining us here again, John Tenolo. Tony V, always good to have you back.
Happy to be
Kathy
here.
Kathy H, any vacations coming up soon?
Yep.
All right, good,
April.
Good. Thanks for joining us here on the Real Estate House Party. And we'll see you next week. Bye bye.
The views and opinions expressed by the hosts, guests, or callers of this program do not necessarily reflect the opinions of the Studio 21, Podcast Cafe, the United Podcast Network, its partners or affiliates.